You're listening to
Sci-Fi Dig. Greetings, one and all. Welcome to Sci-Fi Dig, show 348. I am here with my co-host,
Rhiannon.
And we're going to talk a little bit of Doctor Who today, complete with sound clips. So we're doing it old school here. And it's I had to laugh as I was pulling these sound clips apart, which I did by myself with no help from my daughter, even though that she said, "Oh, well, I'll make you a list of sound clips."
And I then made you a list.
And then she didn't help me at all.
I said, anyway, you need help, and you didn't say yeah, so I laughed.
Anyhow, so, like, if you remember way back, Sci-Fi Dig number one, the very first Sci-Fi Dig episode, I talked about the first episode of Doctor Who. And if you mess up the buttons on the mixer, I'm going to chop off your fingers.
I might touch that one.
Stop touching things. It's just to look at. It's not for you to touch. Anyway, so like back in the day when I first started this and I was trying to figure out how to do a podcast and how to record everything and how to put it all together, I was super excited for the return of Doctor Who. I have a long history with Doctor Who. And as I say on this show a lot, you know, back in the day, you had three or four stations if you were lucky, and you watched any science fiction, and no matter how bad it was, you loved it. We were lucky because Doctor Who was actually pretty well done, and it would show periodically on a PBS station. Sometimes it would be in order, sometimes it would be in out of order, sometimes like the shows they showed on Saturday night were in order, but if they showed one on Friday, that was a different series. And it get kind of confusing, but that was my first introduction to Doctor Who on PBS, with those you know, cheesy looking monsters and things like that. And I really enjoyed it. And what really caught my attention was the fact that there was a decent science fiction story. I mean, yeah, that the props and stuff might not have been, the production values might not have been where they are now, but it was the story that really sold me. And so when Doctor Who disappeared, and then it came, they were talking about bringing it back, I was very excited. And as far as I'm concerned, you know, I've had this discussion with my daughter many times. You know, Eccleston, that season is the best season of Doctor Who out of the new stuff so far. I'm sure there's a lot of people that disagree with me or whatever. I'm not trying to pick a you know, a fight about it or anything. I'm just saying that that season was so tightly written and so well done, and so many solid characters were introduced, that it really worked for me. And you know, one of the things that I think with that season that I liked was that it wasn't about Doctor Who, it was about Rose Tyler. That season was all about the companion and the human element. When they were you know, traveling with the Doctor, you had that whole human element. Anyway, we have a couple of sound clips here, and I don't worry, I will give Rhiannon a chance to speak here. I just wanted to get a good introduction going, and I haven't done a clip show in ages, so bear with me as I try to see if I can remember exactly how to do all of this. But the first clip is after when the Doctor introduces himself to Rose.
I'm the Doctor, by the way. What's your name?
Rose.
Nice to meet you, Rose. Run for your life!
Okay, and then the next clip I have, this is all from the very first episode. You know, the first episode has a couple of introductions and things like that. You know, obviously the main characters. And then they really flesh it out as the season goes on. And I think they do a pretty good job of fleshing out these various characters. So the Doctor ends up showing up at Rose's house, and he meets Rose's mom. Keep in mind, the first episode, the villain of the week is the mannequins, and they're made out of plastic, but they're able to attack, and it's all very creepy. I think the first episode was a good setup for the Doctor, because you had a nice mix. You know, you had not only the science fiction element of the mannequins, but you had that scare factor that, you know, the original Doctor Who kind of brought to the table, where, you know, it was there was a frightening aspects to it, you know, the whole hide behind the couch and watch kind of deal going on. So anyway, let me play this clip, and then I'll give Rhiannon a chance to give her thoughts on the first episode, and also kind of her first Doctor Who for the most part.
I'm in my dressing gown.
Yes, you are.
There's a strange man in my bedroom.
Yes, there is.
Where anything could happen.
No.
Okay, it's your turn to talk. So what were your thoughts on your very first Doctor Who episode I know you've kind of sporadically seen it here and there, but you've watched everything. We just finished the David Tennant specials today, and you're ready to start Matt Smith.
Yeah.
So you have a little bit of experience with the reboot. And what did you think of the first episode?
First episode was really good. And it was really cool because, the mannequins were kind of freaky. So it wasn't just boring. You're also kind of oh, that is kind of scary. So it wasn't just a story. You had that the monster was actually scary in that episode, kind of.
And you had the whole humor element as well.
Yeah.
And what did you think of, what were your thoughts about it since you didn't really know a whole lot about it other than asking me a few questions here and there? I mean, did you... when you watched it, where you're like, oh, I'm going to watch more. I mean, I want to watch more because I'm intrigued. Or well, maybe I should just kind of power through and see if I'm going
to
like it.
No, I really wanted to watch more.
Okay.
I really liked it.
We have some more sound clips. I went through, like I said, Rhiannon made a list and I went through and I pulled most of them. Some of them I felt were, might be a little bit too different for what I wanted to talk about in the show. Because I think that one of the things I like is Rose as the companion. I mean, kind of focusing on her, which I think that the show did a very good job of. But I think that when you go back and you do a rewatch, you realize just how much of season one, or the reboot anyway, was about Rose Tyler, with the Eccleston run. I mean, how much it really was, everything did revolve around her and revolve around her family and revolved around how she was viewing the universe, traveling with the Doctor, the time machine part and everything else, and the fact that although they don't really make a big deal about it in the beginning when she decides to go with him, but it's pretty clear that she's kind of, I don't want to say bored with her life, but it's kind of looking for a direction, maybe. Not that she's directionless, but she's kind of looking to do something big and better, and this unique possibility or a unique opportunity popped up in front of her, and she just jumped at it. She didn't wait. She didn't sit there and weigh all the pros and cons. She's just like, I'm going for it. I want to go see this stuff. This is an opportunity. I'm jumping on board. Really, I'm jumping in there. Anyway, let's see where our next clip is.
Who are you?
Told you, the Doctor.
Yeah, but Doctor what?
Just the Doctor.
The Doctor.
Hello.
Is that supposed to sound impressive?
Sort of.
Come on, then. Can tell me. I've seen enough. Are you the police?
No, I was just passing through. I'm a long way from home.
But what have I done wrong? How come those plastic things keep coming after me?
Oh, suddenly the entire world revolves around you. You were just an accident. You got in the way, that's all.
It tried to kill me.
It was after me, not you. Last night in the shop, I was there. You blundered in, almost ruined the whole thing. This morning, I was tracking it down. It was tracking me down. The only reason it fixed on you is because you met me.
So what you're saying is the entire world revolves around you?
Sort of, yeah.
You're full of it.
Sort of, yeah.
But all this plastic stuff, who else knows about it?
No one.
What, you're on your own?
Well, who else is there? I mean, you lot, all you do is eat chips, go to bed and watch telly. While all the time underneath you there's a war going on.
Okay. Start from the beginning. I mean, if we're going to go with the living plastic, and I don't even believe that, but if we do, how did you kill it?
The thing controlling it projects life into the arm. I cut off the signal, dead.
So that's radio control?
Thought control.
So in that clip, the Doctor, him and Rose are having a conversation because she's still not quite sure, who he is or what he is or what's going on, And but I like the humor. And the reason that the humor works so much better on a second rewatch is because you realize the Doctor's carrying around a lot of pain because he is the last of the Time Lords. There was a war and he's the last one. So he is alone. He doesn't, not only doesn't have a companion, but he doesn't have any more of his own people. And so this is one of the reasons that I think Eccleston did a fantastic job as a Doctor, because we have these scenes where he can switch from having humor in his eyes to suddenly you see the pain in his eyes when he realizes he's the last one. And you really notice that As the episodes go on, when they do this nice camera capture of directly of his face, and you see his eyes, and you see that stuff change around, you know. Now, Eccleston obviously has had a lot of rumors and history with him doing Doctor Who. You know, he came in, and then after season one, he was done. And I remember at the time, everybody couldn't believe that he was done because Doctor Who was such a huge hit. I mean, it was you know, everybody was torrenting it in the U.S. because there wasn't a U.S. version. You couldn't watch it here. You had to download it illegally to see it. And it was a huge hit, and nobody could understand. And then the BBC came back and said, well, that was the plan all along, that they were going to have him for 1 year and then regenerate him into something else. And like any PR campaign, people didn't really buy it. They knew something was up. And from what I understand at the time, they did pay him a large sum of money to do Doctor Who. And now I don't know. I haven't gone back and double-checked these facts. I'm going off memory. You know, I understand that they gave him a large sum of money to do this. And then Tennant came in and didn't make as much. And that's one of the things people were saying. Was like, well, you know, you paid all this money and this and that, and he's out. And, you know, they were like, yeah, that was the plan. And I never really believed that. And obviously, as time goes on, you know, you read interviews with Eccleston, and he has said that he just did not enjoy some of the people that he had to work with. And things were too confining for him. And that's why he moved on. You know, no big deal. You know, he's always handled it with I think he's handled any question about it very well. He hasn't talked bad. He was just like, you know, I didn't like this or that. And so I moved on, and I'm perfectly fine with that. I mean, he, unfortunately, because of that, I don't think he embraces his time as Doctor Who. And to me, somebody who really thinks he was the best Doctor thus far, I mean, he just did a really good job. I mean, not like I said, you know, the difference between him having the humor in his face and suddenly switching to the seriousness, and you see the pain in his eyes. And also the whole storyline of season one, you know, it was just so tightly integrated. It all made sense at the end. And just a great relationship between him and Rose. Now, let's see what our next sound clip is.
You think it'll last forever? People and cars and concrete. But it won't. One day it's all gone. Even the sky. My planet's gone. It's dead. It burned like the earth. It's just rocks and dust. Before its time.
What happened?
There was a war and we lost.
A war with who? What about your people?
I'm a Time Lord. I'm the last of the Time Lords. They're all gone. I'm the only survivor. I'm left travelling on my own because there's no one else.
There's me.
You've seen how dangerous it is. Do you want to go home?
I don't know. I want... Oh, can you smell chips?
Yeah.
I want chips.
Me too.
Right then, before you get me back in that box, chips it is, and you can pay.
No money.
What sort of date are you? Come on then, tightwad, chips are on me. We've only got 5 billion years till the shops close.
So basically, I think in that clip, you know, again, we kind of see that that quiet sadness the Doctor has, you know, he's like, you think it's all going to be here and then suddenly it's not, you know, and, you know, kind of touching back on, you know, his life and Gallifrey and the Time Wars and things like that.
Yeah.
Now, I enjoyed this episode. We got to see kind of the future, got introduced to a lot of interesting aliens.
Yeah.
This is the second
definitely.
Episode. Your favorite was?
What?
Moisten My Skin.
Oh.
So, what was her name?
Cassandra?
Yeah.
What's her last name?
I have no idea.
Does she have a last name?
I don't know.
Okay.
But, She was kind of interesting. I mean, being so old and everything, but not, trying to stay alive. And it was just, it's nice to be able to kind of throw these aliens into the mix. And, it seems to me like in this season, they're not, it's kind of more of a buildup. You get a bit more explanation about the characters, where in some of the seasons, they just show up. And then it's like 3/4 of the way through the season, you kind of get information on them, even though the doctor seems to know them, and this one, he seemed to not know them as well as anybody else, and he just kind of like would ask questions, and we were kind of introduced to them together. Now, the next clip I have is of the ending of that particular episode, which I really enjoyed, and again, it kind of lends itself more to character development for Rose than it does for the Doctor. But what I liked about Rose and the Doctor, and I really noticed pulling this audio, is they're very kind of frank and open with one another.
Yeah.
There's not like a lot of, way things are said or unsaid. They seem very direct, which I really enjoyed. Mm-hmm. He would just ask her a question or say this or say that about time travel, about going, do you really want to do this and things like that? And there was no like, well, yeah, I think it kind of be like, yes, no, whatever.
Yeah.
But anyway, I always kind of dug this final clip. This is a good pick for you, actually.
You lot. You spend all your time thinking about dying. Like you're going to get killed by eggs or beef or global warming or asteroids. But you never take time to imagine the impossible. And maybe you survive. This is the year 5.5/Apple/26. 5 billion years in your future. And this is the day. Hold on. This is the day the sun expands. Welcome to the end of the world.
So that clip demonstrates that apparently humanity continues on, even though that the Earth is going to die. And I guess there's probably colonies or something out there, and it lives on. The point of the, again, showing the relationship between, the Doctor and Rose, and him explaining to her how, or showing to her that, there's all these unique possibilities out there, these things that you can see. This is a good second episode for the first season. The second season, the second episode was Earth 2, which is very similar in a lot of ways when you do a comparison, considering they're both second episodes and they're both kind of showing something in the history of our culture, our world, and how, we managed to kind of persevere, even at that point showing that we have the aliens are prevalent in our culture, although we don't actually get to see the Earth. We don't actually get to see obviously if it's going to explode, there's not going to be anybody on the planet, but I don't really feel like there's a lot of human element where the humans are having a discussion about what's happening. This seems to be kind of like a gathering of aliens, like a party of some sort, where they're watching it, watching the Earth end, but there doesn't seem to be any real remorse for it. It's kind of the way they put it together, it's not
just something like, that happened.
Yeah, it's an event like any other. Anyway, the next clip, it comes from I think episode 4, and the Doctor and Rose, they come back home, and even though it's only been a couple of days for them,
it has been a whole year for her mom and Mickey.
Yeah, and they've been trying to find Rose. They don't realize that she's gone. And, because of that, it's an interesting look at Rose's character, because the simple fact is she's not remorseful that she chose to go with the Doctor, but she does feel bad.
Too bad that they didn't know where she was.
Right. And so this clip isn't demonstrating that. What happens is that her mother slaps the Doctor, and then her and the Doctor take a walk, and they just have a brief conversation about how old he is.
When you say 900 years.
That's my age.
You're 900 years old.
Yeah.
My mum was right. That is one hell of an age gap.
Okay, so the next clip I have comes from a very big episode in season one, and at the time, this is probably the biggest episode, Dalek, which those of you that have a history of Doctor Who realize that, you know, that's always been a huge villain for him, and, you know, Davros and all that, you know, it all kind of tied together. But the Daleks were, not only did they have a huge history with Doctor Who and, you know, being the villain, but they are also are the other people that were fighting. Yeah. And you have these machines at the time, you know, for us, they were always machines, but they kind of update them in this episode. And so they have no emotions, but we find out that as the episode goes on, that there is actually some sort of little alien inside the Daleks, kind of like a little blobby looking thing, like that dude from the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, and it's kind of controlling, you know, the Daleks, kind of like its armor or what have you. They land in a place like a museum where the guy has all these different things, and he has a Dalek there, and it won't do anything for him. And when the doctor enters the room, the Dalek kind of goes crazy, and they start having conversations about, you know, the Time War and the fact that there is that they are both the last of their kind. Yeah. And the doctor, this is where one of those great scenes where you see the rage come across his eyes. The anger of everything that's happened, you know, the fact that he's alone in this war. We're still not sure what he did in the war, although he does kind of have an admission here where he says, it's my fault. You know, I'm the one who did this. You know, I'm the one who, you know, wiped all of you out.
Yeah.
So Rose somehow imprints her DNA.
Under the Dalek.
Yeah. And so the Dalek's chasing her. And the doctor is being able to view her through cameras, and he's getting kind of panicked because she is he thinks that she's going to die. She's going to be exterminated.
Yeah.
And so we have this scene where the Dalek does not exterminate Rose. Rose and the Dalek are kind of walking side by side, and the doctor comes out and he tells her to get out of the way. He has a gun, and this is the exchange that they have.
Rose, get out of the way, now!
No, because I won't let you do this.
That thing killed hundreds of people.
It's not the one pointing the gun at me.
I've got to do this. I've got to end it. The Daleks destroyed my home, my people. I've got nothing left.
Look at it.
What's it doing?
It's the sunlight, that's all it wants.
But it can't.
It couldn't kill Van Staten. It couldn't kill me. It's changing. What about you, Doctor? What the hell are you changing into?
I think one of the reasons this clip is so important is that, you know, because the Doctor, I think, since he did, does what he does and exterminates all the Daleks during the Time War, and his own people included, that, you know, he has this, he's trying not to be that person. But he has so much anger and so much hatred toward the Daleks is that he wants to end the life of this last one, and then it'll be done. Then like, it'll justify what he did, you know, I think in his head, because if he did it, but the Daleks are still out there, he didn't exterminate the threat, you know, he didn't eliminate that. And when you're faced with that decision, it's like, what are you supposed to do? And you say, okay, well, you know, I'll do this, and yeah, I'm going to kill my own people, and, you know, but if I eliminate all the Daleks, then it's worth it because they'll never be able to hurt anybody again. So I'm willing to take that, you know, that risk, make that sacrifice. And part of the anger he has, I think, is because the Daleks are still, there's still one left. And so what's he supposed to do, you know? And this will play out through the rest of the season as well. He'll be faced these choices, and he doesn't want to become that person again. Now, the next clip I have is from Father's Day, and obviously a clip, the show that had to be done, because we know that Rose Tyler's father dies, you know, early on, and why can't she go back in time and save him? She has a time machine, for, you know, crying out loud. And she does, and the doctor is upset because she does save him, and because of that...
But prior to her saving him, you know, even though the doctor knew it was dangerous, you can really see he cared for Rose because he kept taking her back.
Yeah, he wasn't going to after the first time, but he thought about it, you know.
When, like, she couldn't do it the first time and go to him,
he
took her back again, even though he knew it was dangerous to cross the timeline and do that.
And the idea was for her just to be with him while he died, and she ends up saving him instead. And this is an interesting clip, and it took a rewatch for me to catch this bit where he says about once you heard it was a time machine. So I think the idea...
Because if you look back to the first episode, she was with Mickey clinging to her leg, and he said, I have, what did he say?
A spaceship in time. Travels in time.
Well,
yeah.
The first time he just said it travels anywhere in the universe, and she didn't want to go, but he came back and said it traveled in time, and it changed her mind.
So he thinks he's being used, that the whole point of this was so she could go back and do this. But I really like this clip because it brings that up, and it shows it's interesting because you have these two people who are forming a relationship, and it's not love yet, but clearly there's something there, and they kind of say mean, hateful things to each other at the end of the clip, you know, like things that because they know the other person they kind of know their inner thoughts or whatever, and they kind of throw those out there.
Okay, look, I'll tell him you're not my boyfriend.
When we met, I said, travel with me in space. You said no. Then I said, time machine.
It wasn't some big plan. I just saw it happening, and I thought, I can stop it.
I did it again. I picked another stupid ape. I should have known. It's not about showing you the universe. It never is. It's about the universe doing something for you.
So it's okay when you go to other times and you save people's lives, but not when it's me saving my dad.
I know what I'm doing. You don't. Two sets of us being there made that a vulnerable point.
But he's alive.
My entire planet died. My whole family. Do you think it never occurred to me to go back and save them?
But it's not like I've changed history. Not much. I mean, he's never going to be a world leader. He's not going to start World War III or anything.
Rose, there's a man alive in the world who wasn't alive before. An ordinary man. That's the most important thing in creation. The whole world's different because he's alive.
What, would you rather him dead?
I'm not saying
that. No, I get it. For once, you're not the most important man in my life.
Let's see how you get on without me, then. Give me the key. The TARDIS key. If I'm so insignificant, give it me back.
All right, then I will.
Well, you've got what you wanted, so that's goodbye, then.
You don't scare me! I know how sad you are. You'll be back in a minute. Will you hang around outside the TARDIS waiting for me? And I'll make you wait a long time!
The next clip is from actually two of them about referencing Captain Jack Harkness, who shows up in a couple of episodes. And, you know, Captain Jack is one of my favorite characters, and I'm a huge fan of Torchwood. And it's funny because in episode two, episode two or three, one of the characters in the episode is actually Gwen from Torchwood, which was kind of interesting.
Yeah.
But, you know, Captain Jack, you know, he is.
I love Captain Jack.
Yeah. And he's definitely not like, you know, a Boy Scout. You know, he's done some things in the past, but they're on the run. And Captain Jack is able to teleport himself to his ship because he has a molecular transport. And the doctor just does not trust him. He just does not trust Captain Jack. And they're having a little competition with their sonic devices and things like that.
And there's the thing about the sonic screwdrivers, and they talked about that too.
Yeah,
that was funny. We don't have that one, but it was like he was like, who just sees a screwdriver and thinks this could be more sonic?
Right. Right. So I have a couple clips here. I'm going to kind of bump them together, you know, and it pays off in the end because the doctor does dance at the end of the episode. But
yeah, that was a good ending.
But I just like the exchange between the Rose and doctor, because obviously the doctor's a little bit jealous because Captain Jack saves her in the beginning. And he's Captain Jack. He comes
and,
right
you
in.
You know, that scene where he saved her was a pretty good.
Yeah.
Scene. That
yeah.
was just like as not necessarily in this first season of the reboot, but as it goes on, Captain Jack just kind of stays. He's not there all the time, but when he's there, he's just a really good character, I think.
Yeah, and considering how much friction there is between him and the doctor, Captain Jack, as the series progresses, clearly falls in love with the doctor and spends a lot of time trying to reconnect with him and join up with him again. But anyway, here's the clips.
What are you doing?
Trying to set up a resonation pattern in the concrete, loosen the bars.
You don't think he's coming back, do you?
Wouldn't bet my life.
Why don't you trust him?
Why do you?
Save my life. Bloke-wise, I sat there with Flossin. I trust him because he's like you. Except with dating and dancing. What?
You just assume I'm...
What?
You just assume I don't dance.
What? You telling me you do dance?
900 years old, me. I've been around a bit. I think you can assume at some point I've danced.
You?
Problem?
Doesn't the universe implode or something if you dance?
Well, I've got the moves, but I wouldn't want to boast.
Show me your moves.
Rose, I'm trying to resonate concrete.
Jack will be back. He'll get us out. So come on. The world doesn't end because the doctor dances. Yeah, I know. Captain Jack fixed me up.
Oh, we're calling him Captain Jack now, are we?
Well, his name's Jack, and he's a captain.
He's not really a captain, Rose.
Do you know what I think? I think you're experiencing captain envy. You'll find your feet at the end of your legs. You may care to move them.
If ever he was a captain, he's been defrocked.
Yeah? Shame I missed that.
Actually, I quit. Nobody takes my frock.
Okay, the next few clips I have are from episode 12 and 13, which definitely connect together. In episode 12, you know, the big thing is that we have this reality, crazy reality TV that's really real. Like, you have Big Brother, and when you get voted out of the house, what happens?
What happens? You, like, get disintegrated, don't you?
Yeah. And then the weakest link, if you're the weakest link, what happens?
It's like the robot thing, and she shoots you, and you just...
So you definitely have incentive to be the best of what's going on. Rose doesn't realize this. She's playing the game, and it's down to her and one other fella. And he explains to her that he voted against the other people because she's so stupid. And he knows that he'll win, and he drops this bit of... Yeah. A little bit of dialogue, and then she has a flashback about Bad Wolf.
Up against you, so that you get disintegrated, and I get a stack load of credits, courtesy of the Bad Wolf Corporation.
What do you mean? Who's Bad Wolf?
They're in charge. They run the game station.
Why are they called Bad Wolf?
I don't know. It's just a name. It's like an old Earth nursery rhyme sort of thing. What does it matter?
I keep hearing those words everywhere we go. Bad Wolf.
Things you see. The darkness. The big bad wolf.
Attention all personnel. Bad Wolf 1 descending.
Fly through.
What's it mean?
Bad Wolf.
Different times. Different places, like it's written all over the universe.
What are you going on about?
If the Bad Wolf were in charge of this quiz, then maybe I'm not here by mistake. Someone's been planning this.
Now, in the next clip, it's kind of like everything has come together.
Yeah.
The doctor has managed to escape from the Big Brother house. Yes. And Rose Tyler ends up escaping from being the weakest link. And all the plans kind of pop up where you have the Daleks. You find out that they are in charge.
Yes.
And they've put all this huge television station thing together for entertainment and whatever. And you get some great scenes in these episodes with Captain Jack. It's where you really start to love them. You know, when they're tailoring new clothes for him, and then they decide that they're going to do an extreme makeover. And they want to cut off his head and put a dog's head on there. Or put his legs on his chest. And he's like, don't make me shoot you. And there's two robot ladies. And they're like, well, how are you going to do that? And he pulls out this gun. And they're like, where'd you keep that? And he's like, you don't want to know. The Daleks have captured Rose. And they're on their ship with Rose. And there's a view screen. And the doctor is talking to them. And we have this great clip. And again, one of the reasons that it's just a fantastic... not only is
the
it
the clip is just so good, like the way the tone the doctor takes is so perfect.
Yeah, not only do we have the great dialogue, but it's also one of the scenes where, like, you can imagine what the doctor was like back in his day before the time war, and he was just full of anger and sadness. He just kind of, he doesn't doubt himself. He's like, I am going to save her. I'm going to do all these things. And he does it with a big smile on his face. Let me play the clip and then we can discuss more if we feel we need to talk more about it.
Oh, will you? That's nice. Hello.
The Daleks' stratagem nears completion. The fleet is almost ready. You will not intervene.
Oh, really? Why is that then?
We have your associate. You will obey or she will be exterminated.
No. I said no.
What is the meaning of this negative?
It means no.
But she will be destroyed!
No! Because this is what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna rescue her. I'm gonna save Rose Tyler from the middle of the Dalek fleet. And then I'm gonna save the Earth. And then, just to finish off, I'm gonna wipe every last stinking Dalek out of the sky!
But you have no weapons, no defenses, no plan!
Yeah. And doesn't that scare you to death? Rose?
Yes, Doctor?
I'm coming to get you.
The Doctor is initiating hostile action!
The stratagem must advance! Begin the invasion of Earth!
The Doctor will be exterminated!
Okay, so that's a great ending to that, that particular episode. So what happens is we're preparing for war now. You know, the Daleks are going to come on board. The Doctor comes up with an idea of how to, you know, how he thinks he can defeat the Daleks or stop them from their evil plan, which is to destroy the Earth.
This is completely off topic, but in that episode, do you remember the girl who was like part of the computer?
Yeah.
She was super cool.
Yeah,
just putting that out there.
And she's from something else, too, and I can't think of what
it is. I don't
know,
but she was really cool. She was one of my favorite characters in that episode. I don't know why. I just really liked her.
We have this scene where everybody has their jobs, their mission. Rose and a Doctor are putting together something to help stop the plan. And Captain Jack is he's getting ready to go and try to get together a militia of people to try to stop the Daleks. They have a plan of like they're in a satellite and they figure out what floors the Daleks are going to come in at. And they're trying to figure out. So Jack comes and he's telling them goodbye. So I just have this real clip of them telling them goodbye. And I love this scene for a lot of reasons, but one of the main reasons is that he tells Rose and the Doctor goodbye. And you know, him and Rose has kind of had a thing and the Doctor's been kind of jealous. But when he leaves, the person he kisses is the Doctor, which I thought was just fantastic.
Yeah.
But let me play this clip.
It's been fun. But I guess this is goodbye.
Don't talk like that. The Doctor's gonna do it. You just watch him.
Rose. You are worth fighting for. Wish I'd never met you, Doctor. I was much better off as a coward. See you in hell.
So the next clip is, you know, Doctor gets, you know, obviously since Rose is there, the Doctor gets her back. But he's trying to put his plan, you know, everybody's going off to do their jobs to try to stop the Daleks, try to stop the plan. And the Doctor realizes that there is no way that he is going to be able to finish the Delta Wave or the mechanism in time. And Rose doesn't want to leave. And they do have a great exchange. I didn't pull the clip. They have a great exchange where he's like, you know, you could leave. And she's like, no. And he's like, it never crossed your mind, did it? And
yeah,
this is where, you know, you really see Rose come full circle where it's not just an adventure anymore.
It is saving people.
Yeah. It's about being a better person, making a difference in the universe. And so he ends up, getting her on the TARDIS and sends the TARDIS back to where she came from, you know, right after they left and he's talking to her family or whatever. And she's very angry because he sent her away. And once the TARDIS touches down, the emergency protocol pops up, which is a hologram of the Doctor, and this is the message that it delivers.
This is emergency program one. Rose, now listen. This is important. If this message is activated, then it can only mean one thing. We must be in danger, and I mean fatal. I'm dead or about to die any second with no chance of escape.
No.
And that's okay. Hope it's a good death. But I promise to look after you, and that's what I'm doing. The TARDIS is taking you home.
I won't let you.
And I bet you're fussing and moaning now. Typical. But hold on and just listen a bit more. The TARDIS can never return for me. Emergency program one means I'm facing an enemy that should never get their hands on this machine. So this is what you should do. Let the TARDIS die. Just let this old box gather dust. No one can open it, no one will even notice it. Let it become a strange little thing standing on a street corner. And over the years, the world will move on and the box will be buried. And if you want to remember me, then you can do one thing. That's all. One thing.
Have a good life. Do that for me, Rose. Have a fantastic life.
And of course, Rose Tyler has a gigantic fit, but she goes and has chips with her mom, and then you can tell us what happens since you haven't said much this podcast.
And then, you know, she realizes, like, I don't know, one thing I have to say about Rose's mom is that even though she knew her daughter was putting herself in danger and she didn't want her to, she never really doubted her. After
right,
the beginning.
She wanted her to be happy.
She was always, if it was making Rose happy, she would do whatever. So her and her mom and Mickey get together, and they're doing, what all did they
Before we get to that, the one scene that I liked that really stands out to me was when they were having the chips and she was talking about, you know, the doctor doing stuff, and basically her mom and Mickey kind of, or like especially her mom was like, so, you know, what you're saying is we're not good enough. You know, this is not a good enough life. And then she was like, no, and she started to explain her feelings, which were that it wasn't that it was a better life. It's that it made her better. You know what I mean? I like
it
that.
It was making her a better person.
Right. Rather than her being cocky and being like, I get to do all this and you don't. You realize that's not it. Because that's kind of how it started out when her adventure with the doctor.
Yeah.
But it's because she is helping people and doing things in the universe that are making a difference, and that's the big thing. But anyway, now you tell us what happens here.
So all three of them, Rose, her mom, and Mickey, get together, and she realizes she has to do something.
Mm-hmm.
So does she go into the TARDIS right away?
Yeah, she gets, Mickey hooks his car up.
And they're trying to, like, pull it.
Yeah, they're trying to uncover the heart of the TARDIS.
Yes. And things are not going well.
No.
And it kind of turns into, like, a very serious, but also has a sense of humor in the
right.
scene. Because just nothing's working out for them.
Yeah, the chains are breaking.
Yes.
Cars are falling apart.
Yes. And then her mom, right? Is it her mom?
Yeah, her
goes
mom.
Goes and gets this, like, what was it? It was just like a big...
It was like an emergency truck.
Yeah.
It was kind of like a fire truck.
Which
in,
was
in
also
somewhere.
Kind of funny, because she's just like, where did you get this?
And then she said she had it until a certain time, so they had
yeah,
to hurry up.
Yeah, so they had to hurry up. And it was just a very funny part of the scene, but still serious. And they finally uncover the heart of the TARDIS.
Yeah.
Which took quite some effort.
I just want to say that her standing right there looking at it while they're trying to pull the chain is not a safe position to be, because if that chain snap is going to smack her in the head and kill her. That's what I kept thinking the whole time I was watching this scene. I was like, you shouldn't be that close. Also, the fact that the TARDIS must weigh a ton.
Yeah.
Because it was a little box, but it shouldn't be pulling it all over the place, but the TARDIS stayed right where it was at.
Yeah, it was very serious about not leaving.
Which makes you wonder what's going on when it lands inside other ships as the series goes on. It's like, well, the thing's got to weigh how many tons, so doesn't it mess that ship up? But because it's not very aerodynamic, apparently it's not light either because it stayed put while they pulled that thing off. Anyway,
so she they've uncovered the heart of it, and she looks into it.
Yeah. And she starts, we're not sure what's going on, but she's absorbing some sort of energy. And then the TARDIS takes off again. And she ends up going back to where the doctor was. But we're going to get to that in a second. I have another audio clip here of the doctor and Captain Jack having an exchange because the captain needs Rose's help. And the doctor is kind of avoiding the issue. And then the captain realizes the doctor has sent Rose back in time. And we kind of get the lowdown on what... The thing the doctor's putting together, we get the lowdown on what exactly it's going to do and the fact that it probably is not going to be ready in time.
Rose, I've called up the internal laser codes.
There should be a different number on every screen. Can you read them out to me?
She's not here.
Of all the times to take a leak. When she gets back, tell her to read me the codes.
She's not coming back.
What do you mean? Where'd she go?
Just get on with your work.
You took her home, didn't you?
Yeah.
The Delta Wave. Is it ever going to be ready?
Tell him the truth, Doctor. There is every possibility the Delta Wave could be complete, but no possibility of refining it. The Delta Wave must kill every living thing in its path, with no distinction between human and Dalek. All things will die by your hand.
Doctor, the range of this transmitter covers the entire Earth.
You would destroy Daleks and humans together. If I am God, the creator of all things, then what does that make you, Doctor?
There are colonies out there. The human race has survived in some shape or form, but you're the only Daleks in existence. The whole universe is in danger if I let you live. Do you see, Jack? That's the decision I've got to make for every living thing. Die as a human or live as a Dalek. What would you do?
You send her home. She's safe. Keep working.
But he will exterminate you!
Never doubted him? Never will.
Now you tell me, God of all Daleks, because there's one thing I never worked out. The words Bad Wolf spread across time and space, everywhere, drawing me in. How'd you manage that?
I did nothing.
Oh, come on. There's no secrets now, Your Worship.
They are not part of my design. This is the truth of God.
So the Doctor has a conversation with Captain Jack and tells him, you know, that the choice he has to make, you know, he's making that choice once again that he had to make during the Time War, you know. And it's a great scene because it's, you know, it's like, you know, what am I supposed to do? You know, it's like I can wipe everything out. I don't have enough time to refine it, in which case the Daleks will be gone. But also, you know, the bunch of humanity or whatever, and he thinks they'll go, the colonies and other planets or whatever. And
you see that Captain Jack's faith never falters.
Yeah.
Not for a second.
And it's interesting because you kind of come full circle. I wasn't expecting that in a final episode coming full circle like that with him having to make the same decision again, which obviously is one of the things that made him the way he is right now.
Yeah.
Now, the final clip I have here is of the Doctor talking to Rose after they get back on the TARDIS. I mean, Rose comes and she's able to basically, I don't want to say... You know, I don't want to look at it as she destroyed the Daleks, but she basically scattered them in time and atoms. You know what I mean? Because she looked into the TARDIS and absorbed the time stream, and the Doctor.
The whole scene was just super cool.
Oh yeah, it was just really well done, and you realize that the Bad Wolf that you keep seeing throughout the entire season was because at this point in time, she takes the letters Bad Wolf and scatters them through time so she would keep picking up on them as clues. She's the one who does that. The Doctor gives her a kiss and absorbs the vortex.
Vortex, because she couldn't handle it very much longer.
Right, and he knew it was going to kill her. And we think everything's hunky-dory. And until we get back into the TARDIS, you know, everything has been... She passes out. He puts her in a TARDIS. They take off. Captain Jack, she's able to give him life again.
Yeah.
And he goes to chase
her. As the season goes on, not in this one, but as it goes on, you learn something interesting about that.
Yeah, well, it's prevalent in Torchwood, too. I mean, Captain Jack can't die. And, you know, he's not sure what happened, but he's not able to die. And we get introduced to that more in Torchwood and his infatuation with why this happened or whatever. And the Doctor and, you know, Rose, they kind of fly away in a TARDIS. And it wasn't that the Doctor was trying to leave Captain Jack behind. I think it's because he knew he was dying and he needed to get to a safe place. And maybe that wasn't there. He was just interested in kind of like getting
and
out of there.
Doesn't it later on, I don't know if this is a spoiler, but like later on whenever he says like he left him because he knew or whatever.
I don't know.
I don't remember that. Do you remember they're with he's with Martha then? And it's when he says the thing about the face of Beau.
Oh, okay.
And he says, like, isn't that why you... Because Jack had been looking for them all those years or whatever. He's like, isn't that why you left me when you realized that? that he was a problem in time or whatever.
Yeah, that could be it. Yeah, because I know that it comes up a couple times how he's like an anomaly in time, and they can't figure out exactly what's going on with that. And I don't know how much of how much address that gets, but I like the fact that they did it. And I'm trying to think of, I don't know if that was like an afterthought from the writers, because it didn't make any sense after they connected like that for him to leave Captain Jack behind. But, he was trying to get Rose. I just always assumed he was trying to get Rose out of there. And then the fact that he never kind of tracked him down again or whatever, and he becomes the head of Torchwood, which a lot of people kind of poo-poo on, but I love Torchwood. It's a fantastic series, and it's a little bit more adult-oriented, but they did a really good job, especially the Children of Time, the miniseries. Oh, man, that was, like, my favorite one. But anyway, of all the seasons. Anyhow, so we have this final clip, and it's his goodbye to Rose in a lot of ways. And
so great.
Yeah, it just does a very good job very satisfying ending, I think, to this season. And if there was never any Doctor Who after this, if this season was horrible and it never got picked up again for another season or whatever, I'd have been very satisfied with the ending. I mean, obviously I'd want more, but I really dug what they did.
And in this regeneration, it wasn't, like, sad. It was just, like, it was sad, but it was like, you know what? We did good.
Yeah, right.
It wasn't as much like, oh, I'm leaving. It was like, we did good, and now it's time.
Yeah, very much in the same effect of Rose saying that, you know, we made a difference. You know, the way her attitude has changed. It's kind of how his attitude is. Like, we did what we set out to do. We made a difference. And, you know. But anyway, let me play the clip.
I can't remember anything else.
Rose Tyler. I was going to take you to so many places. Barcelona? Not the city, Barcelona. The planet, Barcelona. You'd love it. Fantastic place. They've got dogs with no noses. Imagine how many times a day you end up telling that joke, and it's still funny.
Then why can't we go?
Maybe you will, and maybe I will. But not like this.
You're not making sense.
I might never make sense again. I might have two heads, or no head. Imagine me with no head. And don't say that's an improvement. But it's a bit dodgy, this process. You never know what you're going to end up with.
Doctor!
Stay away!
Doctor, tell me what's going on.
I absorbed all the energy of the time vortex, and no one's meant to do that. Every cell in my body's dying.
How can't you do something?
Yeah, I'm doing it now. Time Lords have this little trick. It's all the way of cheating death. Except it means I'm going to change. And I'm not going to see you again. Not like this. Not with this daft old face. And before I go...
Don't say that.
Rose. Before I go, I just want to tell you, you were fantastic. Absolutely fantastic. And you know what? So was I.
So I think that was a fantastic ending.
Definitely.
To that season. I really enjoyed it. Anyway, so that was our brief Doctor Who overview for season one. You know, and I just wanted to say that we're going to be at Anime Midwest in the beginning of July, which is in Chicago. If anybody,
we'll be going down Saturday, right? Definitely Saturday, maybe Friday night.
Yeah, maybe Friday night. So I just wanted to let everybody know, if you're there, shoot me an email, or you can find me on Twitter and Facebook and all that jazz. But let me know, and we'll meet up, even if it's just for a few minutes. So we don't have a lot of time there. It's just a stop on our way to vacation. So we wanted to do something for a couple of days, and Steam Powered Giraffes playing, and
we're really going down to see them.
Yeah, so we want to check them out, and it'd be fun. I mean, Rana's not really into anime, neither does anybody else, but I like anime, so I might go and investigate and see what there is out there, And it should be fun, if nothing else, than for the music and the cosplay and stuff like that. But, you know, and I grew up right next to Chicago, so it'd be nice to kind of like go and see it again. It's been a long time since I've been there. So we'll be there, and we will have buttons. We'll have Sci-Fi Day buttons.
I'm so excited.
So we will be handing out buttons. So if you if you're going to be there, and
I feel like
and
this is the first time I'm old enough to understand it. Now we get to like hand out buttons, and I'm going to the first like convention we've been to since I've been like older.
Yeah, yeah. So we're pretty excited about heading out there and seeing that. So if you're in the area, you're going to be there. You know, I know that there's usually people with the con season, especially listening to this show, are more towards the mixed media cons or the comic cons, but there's got to be some anime folk out there. So if you're going to be in the area, make sure you, you know, you shoot me an email or something. Let us know somehow, you know,
definitely.
One of the ways to contact us so we can come and say hi and all that. And, I don't know if we'll get another show in between now and then, but we're going to, we might try. I might be able to squeeze one in, but we'll see what's going on. But I hope everybody enjoyed the Doctor Who and a fresh kind of look at it. Cause
I only have 3 more seasons left.
Yeah.
And then I'll be caught up.
Rhiannon's burning through them. There's a possibility she'll be done in time
for the new season to start.
Yeah.
I have all the Matt Smith. Like, I just saw The Regeneration, and I'm ready to watch this.
So we will have, hopefully she'll get caught up in time. And then
and then we can even do one about the new shows.
Yeah, we can talk. Yeah, can talk about, we can even talk about the new, when the very first one comes out, we can talk about our thoughts on that.
Yeah.
If you're all caught up by then.
Man, I don't know very much, but the new Doctor seems pretty cool.
Yeah, I'm pretty excited to see what he's going to bring. Hopefully some of the more classic stuff. I've given Rhiannon a couple classic episodes on DVD.
I haven't watched that yet. I got that, some anime, and the 3 reboot seasons to watch still. I'm working on it.
Yeah. But anyway, so that's it. We're going to call this a show, and we'll talk to everybody next time. This is Aaron.
And this is Rhiannon. Over and out.
To erupt without a sound.